Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Oh my word. That is one of the best test victories I have ever seen. Australia get over the line by just 2 wickets in an instant classic. This is Cricket Unfiltered. We're wrapping up the fifth day from Edgbaston. Paul Dennett, what a victory. I mean, how good?
Marvellous stuff, Menes. G'day, everyone. It's 5 a.m. here, so apologies for the lack of coherency. If it's coherence, I'm not sure. But yeah, that was amazing. All test match, I thought Australia was going to lose until suddenly when Cummins and Lyon got together, there's some sort of change in complexion came over the game. And I hoped and dared to believe for the first time. And it was scintillating stuff.
And I don't know, I had this feeling of, you know, sort of reliving, you know, especially while it was getting close, reliving all those close matches that Australia have basically lost in my lifetime watching cricket, you know, the 92-93 game against the West Indies, the 94 game against South Africa, the famous 05 Ashes test, and then, you know, in 2019 against Ben Stokes, and all that was swirling around. And then for Pat Cummins and Nathan Lyon to deliver in the most intense pressure with that horrible Edgbaston crowd baying for blood, it was just so satisfying to see Cummins steer that ball off Robinson down to third man and into the boundary with some assistance from some English fielding. And we get a win that seems to erase all those nightmarish, hellish memories.
Yeah, I agree with all of that, except don't call the Edgbaston crowd horrible. They're the best crowd in world cricket, and you've got to get over that. But
No, you do.
They're fantastic. I was there in 2019. It is amazing. It's glorious. I know you've been there as well. Anyway, it does seem as though, well, we really don't have much to complain about as Australian cricket fans because Australia wins a lot more than they lose. But it does seem as though we are on the wrong side of lots of epic defeats. There's the 2013 match at Trent Bridge, the 2001 series against India, the other matches in 2005 that Australia lost that were close. So I just kind of feel really satisfied that finally Australia has won a really close one. In some ways, it's a pity we weren't 9 down to make it even closer.
No, don't say that. Can you imagine poor Josh Hazlewood sitting in the dressing room thinking he might have to go out there with a few needed? Yeah, we should sum up the day, but, you know, I watched the team talking on the media after play, and Usman Khawaja said it's, you know, his favourite test match he's ever played in. He was the player of the match for Australia for his century and half century in the second innings, and Cummins was cock-a-hoop. And, you know, you think about him, this is the first test match back since he's lost his mother. He had we discussed his tactics on the field, but that was a captain's knock if I've ever seen it. 44 not out of 73 balls with 4 fours and 2 sixes. That was a Superman performance. That was Man of Steel stuff.
Certainly was. And, you know, after Australia had inched along all day as well, and we, you know, we've both been very critical of Cummins' on-field tactics during this match, and you know, I stand by those criticisms. But it was instrumental that it was finally him that actually started playing some aggressive shots. That he smacked those boundaries and a couple of sixes off Joe Root, and that's what really seemed to propel Australia closer towards the target. And it was Cummins playing with sort of atypical aggression, and I hope he takes a leaf out of his own book and does that more often, because it's the right way to play. I think Australia won this game despite having probably the more mediocre tactics throughout. But yeah, now's possibly not the time for that. But congratulations to him. Joyful, really, really pleased for him. As I've said, he's my favourite Australian captain of my lifetime. He's the most gracious, the most easy to like. I might disagree with some of his tactics on field, but you know, I'm really pleased that he's the Australian captain.
He also said that it feels a bit more than a 1-0 victory. And I do think that winning a close game like this, the start of a series, is a huge moment. I mean, it goes without saying that I think the record says that if you win the first Ashes test, you usually go on and win the series or retain the Ashes. But, you know, so much was riding on this. And I just feel that, I mean, this performance is going to be talked about for years and years to come.
For sure. And since that 2001, the last time Australia won in England, there's been precious few times Australia's actually been ahead. Although Australia's been highly competitive in all but the 2013 series, with the exception of after the first test that Australia won in 2005, I don't think Australia was in front at all in 09 or 13 or 15. We were in front at periods in 2019, the series that we ultimately drew. But it's been pretty rare to be in the lead in England. Although I would counsel that there always is this sort of overreaction of like feeling like, oh, well, that's it. The side that won the last test is going to prove to be too strong now. And there's been plenty of instances in England where there could be massive changes and shifts in who's leading throughout the series.
All right, let's go through the last day. It was rain delayed, so they didn't get on until midway through the second session effectively. And so Australia resumed at 3 for 107, and they got to 4 for 121 until Scott Boland was caught behind off Stuart Broad for 20. I think if you'd asked me, would I take Scott Boland scoring 20 when he walked out to bat, I would have taken it. So I thought that was a handy little innings from him.
Absolutely. I mean, when he walked out to bat, I would have taken him getting a duck as long as he survives till stumps. To get 20 is a massive bonus. Yeah, he played really well.
And then Travis Head joined Usman Khawaja. And this is where I was getting really nervous, because I thought that if Travis Head could score a quick 50 or something, maybe we could motor this target down pretty quickly. But England bowled really well. I mean, in that first sort of hour and a half, they didn't give many loose balls, and their ground fielding was exceptional for an English side especially. And Usman Khawaja and Head got a bit stuck. And I did hear Usman Khawaja talk afterwards that he did get a bit stuck, but he was also really conscious of taking the game deep because England didn't have Moeen Ali and they had less bowlers, that he wanted to take the game into the last session and into the last hour. But yeah, then Moeen Ali came on and he got Travis Head for 16. Yeah, what did you think of that sort of passage of play where Australia got a bit stuck and then Travis Head tried to take on Ali but ended up getting caught at first slip?
Yeah, it looked like we were getting marooned and weren't going to win. Far better for me to criticise a bloke who scored 206 runs for the match and ultimately was man of the match and Australia won the match. I do think that there were times in both innings where Khawaja could have been more aggressive. And, you know, if you're listening, Uzi, don't take that the wrong way.
yeah, we love you, buddy. So then at tee, Australia was 5 for 183 with Khawaja 56 and Green 22 not out. And there was some footage of a bit of byplay between Ollie Robinson and Usman Khawaja. And I would like to point out that the winning runs were hit off Ollie Robinson. So karma came back to bite him. But apparently you could hear in the stump mic, Ollie Robinson said to Khawaja something about, are you going to try and hit that half volley? And Khawaja said, well, mate, I can tell why you're not a batsman because that's the rough or something. And then they had a few words as they were walking towards a drinks break. So Robinson's a very unlikable character. And if you're incensing Usman Khawaja, you're certainly doing something wrong. So they go to T5 for 183, come out needing 98 to win. What were you thinking at the tea break, Paul? How confident were you from there?
Oh, obviously still gave us a chance, but I just kept on thinking that if they were going to play in that same way, that eventually a ball would come along with their name on it. And I was also conscious of the long Australian tail. But on the flip side, the ball was never doing an enormous amount. And obviously the fact that Ali, even though he got the wicket ahead, he was soon taken out of the attack and it was clear that his finger was not really allowing him to do too much more. Stokes as well, and we can talk about what he did, but he was limited a little bit too. So there was, I certainly still gave Australia a chance, but I think on balance, I still felt that England were going to win at that point.
Yeah, I agree. And there was that passage of play after tea where Cameron Green was out for 28. He was a bit tentative, and he was out to Ollie the Clown Robinson, sort of inciting edge one back onto his stumps. So he was out for 28. I still think a nice little innings for him. They put on 49, Khawaja and Green. And when you consider his, you know, fairly inexperienced player in a tense situation, thought that was a nice contribution. And that brought Alex Carey to the crease. But then Khawaja was out, bowled by Stokes. The captain got the big wicket. Again, just sort of pushing at one, and a little bit tentative, and that made the score 7 for 209. At that point, I was getting very nervous because Cummins went out to join Carey, but then Alex Carey was out to Joe Root, and this is where you saw the brilliance of Stokes' captaincy. The second new ball was due, but he kept Joe Root on for one more over and tempted Alex Carey to try and score some quick runs, and he took the bait and was caught and bowled, an absolute cracking catch after Root had dropped a tough one off Carey earlier. And Carey was gone for 20. Australia was 8 for 227. And I thought at that stage, Australia was gone and Stokes had pulled all the right moves.
Yeah, it was a very impressive spell of bowling from Stokes, given that his knee was clearly really paining him. The ball that got Khawaja, I had the sound down, and afterward, when they were doing a retrospective, they were showing each ball that he bowled that over and the speeds. And I have a feeling that they were going to show that the final ball was notably slower than the other five, and that that's what induced Khawaja to drag it on. But just as they were about to put the final ball, they had to cut to the next ball, and they never did show it. But I think that's what was the case. And it was an impressive piece of bowling, and his reaction was pretty awesome, as in he was almost too much in pain and exhaustion to celebrate. But it did feel at that moment as though that was the decisive moment. And again, exactly what you said, felt as though it was a very impressive piece of captaincy keeping Root on. Root took that catch, almost dropped it. Carey was just starting to look dangerous as well. But then I suppose he probably then did make a mistake in keeping Root on for another over. And that's that over that I talked about, that I think Cummins took 14 off it. And suddenly it just felt that the impossible had become possible again.
Yeah, I think that was just after the drinks break, and Australia needed about, I think, say 50 odd to win. And then Cummins hit that big over off Root and got it into the 30s. And then just some excellent batting from Lyon and Cummins. Cummins seized on the bad balls, hit some nice balls straight down the ground. You know, a couple of big sixes in his innings. Nathan Lyon, with about, as the total was dwindling down, just lazily just picked up Stuart Broad and hit him over mid on for four. And at that stage, I was getting very confident. But then, you know, when the the target got under 10, it did start to sort of tense up. That sort of last seven runs seemed to take forever. And Paul, I was just, how were you? I was like pacing around my living room. I actually had a ball in my hand, like Alan Border circa 1993, that I was sort of spinning in one hand and ready to like chuck at something if we lost.
I actually started to feel quite confident because I don't think that the English tactics towards at the very end of that partnership were very smart, that, you know, they did the same thing as the Aussies have done throughout to the lower order, just spread the field and bouncer after bouncer after bouncer. I just think it's a very limited tactic. Yeah, of course, from time to time, it's going to work. But I think they would have been better off, hitting the top of off stump with more aggressive fields and forcing Cummins and Lyon to play authentic shots. And if they could beat them, you know, in a partnership of 50-odd with authentic shots against the new ball, then, well, good luck to them. It was an interesting point how Ponting in commentary was deploring the fact that they weren't taking the new ball. But then when they did, he kind of realised that with the lacquer on the Duke's ball, sometimes the first 10 or 15 overs are fairly benign. And that's what it said. The new ball just seemed to be really coming onto the bat nicely, and there wasn't much movement. And from that point on, it just felt with their tactics that we were going to win.
I'm glad you were confident because I was very, very nervous. And so with three needed, Ollie Robinson came in and Pat Cummins just steered it down between third man and point. And the fielder at third, I think it was Harry Brook, ran across and tried to stop it, but it careered off him and into the boundary. And cue Pat Cummins' exuberant celebration. And as is the fashion of this match, he threw his bat, Usman Khawaja style. And I saw Ollie Robinson come up to him to try and like shake his hand. And Cummins was having none of that. He just shook his hand and moved on very quickly. And just such brilliant theatre. The English crowd left very, very quickly and just left the Aussie touring groups there to sing to the Australian team. And one of the greatest victories in Australian Test history, one of the greatest victories in Ashes history. And it is a game that will be talked about for years to come. And so many heroes, Paul, when you look at this match. I mean, Khawaja, you've got the two innings, but then you look at Cummins and Lyon, the heroes with the bat at the end, also immense with the ball in both innings. They both took four wickets in the second innings. Lyon took four wickets in the first innings. To add to that, he's approaching 500 test wickets, but I mean, just an extraordinary performance. And when you think that Labuschagne and Smith hardly contributed, this is just a stellar victory.
Certainly is, congratulations to them. Congratulations to the way that England played the game. I think that they really did make a lot of the running. Joe Root was magnificent, and I do hope that it did capture some appeal to English fans who aren't so much sports fans who aren't into cricket or who have fallen out of love with cricket if they were able to be exposed to it in some way. Realize that it's a great game, and I'm excited that potentially we could get some sort of equivalent to what happened in 2005, where it really does become the talk of the country. Now with there's no soccer on at the moment, the Premier League's not on at the moment in any case, and so there's a real opportunity for the Ashes to become front and center. And sometimes a tough loss can endear you to the country more. So maybe the England fans will be sort of even more more eager to see what happens in the coming weeks. And I don't think that England, I don't agree that this is anything more than just a one, obviously it's just one victory, but I don't think there's anything more to it than that. I think that England will come back very strong at Lord's. They'll be better for the run in the sense that they'll have a spinner who won't have the finger problem. And I still think they're every chance of winning, but at the moment, we're going great. Geez, I'm struggling to put words together.
We'll wrap this up pretty quickly then. I actually hope it's more sort of circa 1989 or maybe 1993, where this just cues a tour of Australian domination. And it's, as I said before, the series 4 or 5-0. I hope we look back at this match and think that's the closest England got. That's what I hope. And I don't care what the English public thinks of the series. all right, well, I think we should wrap this up, but I think this victory will be received this will be massive in Australia. We're getting on early recording this at 5:20 a.m. after no sleep. But I think this is going to be a victory that reverberates around the country and will just be I think this will light up Australia. I don't care what it does to England, but I think this will be something that's talked about in Australia, or it'll just light up the country.
Yeah, and the ratings to TV have been superb. Like across all platforms, I noticed the other night there's over 1 million people watching the cricket. So yeah, having it on Channel 9 and Gem, albeit the criticisms of their app, it's fantastic. And for those who stayed up throughout the night, this is a great reward and a wonderful spectacle in the end.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening to Cricket Unfiltered. That's our wrap of day 5. Australia go 1-0 up in the Ashes with a famous 2-wicket victory. Pat Cummins, 44 not out. Nathan Lyons, 16 not out. Put on 55 famous runs to etch their names in history. This will be something that is never forgotten. I won't. Something that I'll hold dear to me for a long time. Listeners, Paul and I will catch up, I reckon, in the next few days and further reflect on what's been a brilliant start to the Ashes. Thanks, Paul. We did it. We stayed up all night.
Never in doubt. Go the Aussies.
This is a Piccolo Podcast production.
Sports Social Podcast Network.